Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 26th on the West Coast, now April the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening to us on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Got to visit with you folks this afternoon. I have to say it was the fastest 2 hours I think I've ever done on any radio show. The time just flew by. Had a great time with Drew Raines on his A Marine's Disquisition radio show. Lots of great questions from the listeners. And we're going to continue talking about some things that deserve discussion. We have before us now, looming again, and this seems to be the fast track to just produce all kinds of draconian legislation. We've got Senate Bill 510, which is the FDA's Food Safety Modernization Act. What is a modernization act when it comes to food safety? We're talking about modern foods, or a modern act, or a modern FDA? It sounds like we're getting ready for more repression, more control over what we can eat. The only thing that I think this bill doesn't cover is what time you must eat and what time you must leave the table. I suspect in the coming days that Representative Hank Johnson will probably be concerned that the fast food restaurants will be tipping over and capsizing, not just Guam. So we'll find out. Tonight's guest hosts his own show on Republic Broadcasting Network on Mondays through Fridays, and he has become a regular guest here on Evident Footprints every Monday. He's a researcher, author, as I mentioned, a talk show host. His show is called The Story Behind the Story, and he's with us tonight to give us the story behind the story on Evident Footprints, Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you, Don, and a pleasure being on the show again. And, yeah, we need to really start hammering home this draconian piece of legislation. Probably to me, it's much, much worse than the health care bill. And we'll just go in and try and explain the bullet points of it to your listening audience tonight and hopefully just keep hammering it home. Mm-hmm. We need to get a grassroots fire going, Don, with everybody that we can to have them write and or voice their opinion by phone calls to their representatives and their senators. And we're going to stop this now. We're going to explain what it is and what it's why we'll just really put the final nails in America's coffin if we allow this to go forward.
Now, how many pages are we talking about in this bill? It seems to me that the health care bill had some 2,700 pages or so, 200 mm-hmm. of which were about health, and the rest was everything but. So what are they sneaking into this bill besides?
Well, you definitely have to read between the lines and what this is really going. And by itself, it doesn't look that nefarious, doesn't look that ominous. But if you look at it in the proper context mm-hmm. and the light in which it was brought forth, you get a feeling for, you know, the final move into complete takeover in martial law. You've got the history of this goes back to like you said in the introduction, it's called the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010, better known as Senate 510. This is not just something that just cropped up overnight. Just like as I discussed with my guest Hoppy Heidelberg today on my show, the implementation of the Patriot Bill following the events of 9/11 the passage of legislation basically discrediting and putting the brakes on the so-called militia movements of 1995. All these things have been in the works for quite a number of years, and the same with this. This is really, in reading the bill, Don, and getting as much into the background, you have to realize it's a cleverly camouflaged American version of Codex Alimentarius. It really is worse than that, because it not only will greatly restrict natural food supplements, but will just also put the control of America's food production into the hands of corporate giants. The ultimate fascism. It's bad enough when you do that with the car industry, Don, but when you do that with the food industry, that's when we really have to say we've turned into Nazi Germany. It's got to be explained, and got to be stopped. Even more so, even more important than the health care bill. Not many people have been talking about this. The health shows I've been on and listened to, even the Republic Broadcasting Network, Genesis Radio, they're really not discussing this. This is way under the radar, even for the alternative media.
A quick question here. First of all, I understand that this is something like an $825 billion bill. I mean, how is this money going to be spent? Are they going to go around inspecting to see if people are growing food in their yards or in their gardens or on farms? And I understand also that there's an executive from Monsanto has been either considered or appointed the czar for this whole thing.
Right. It really is Monsanto's brainchild.
Mm-hmm.
If you really follow the authors of it, the lobby movement behind it, and pull the curtain back, and yes, indeed, you see Monsanto, ConAgra, and the other big mega international giants at work here. Well, we just kind of need to point out just the main bullet points, and what concerns me, Don, and I'm sure will concern our listening audience. There's again, it goes back into the so-called emergency status. Okay, what would constitute an emergency status where Homeland Security and the Department of Defense, the U.S. military, would basically confiscate all food production completely. I mean, this is absolutely draconian, because it really doesn't define what would constitute an emergency. Is it another peanut butter contamination, or is there an E. coli outbreak with In-N-Out Burgers or what have you? What will constitute this? Will it be regionalized, or will it be completely nationwide? These are the type of things that are really gray in this bill.
Well, yeah, it could be a $457 lunch at the Waldorf Astoria too.
Yeah.
based upon where the short-legged Mac Daddy and Mrs. Black Widow like to eat lunch.
Mm.
Nothing against the Waldorf. I just think the prices are obscene. But we pay for this. Now, where do they draw the line? Obviously, they don't hold it to the same standard. They're not held to these standards whatsoever, at all. And it seems to me that they're creating problems for the purpose of solving the problem by taking our rights away.
Well, it puts people under a gun, too, no doubt about it, about attacking their health in a massive way. Well, again, this is just where this is like being an acorn, Don, that's being put into the ground and planted now. This giant tree of fascism is not going to blossom overnight. They're planting the seeds right now. basically take, you know, tear the very fiber of America apart. And this is one of those. Make no mistake, this is an absolutely dangerous bill. All U.S. food production, ladies and gentlemen, all small independent farms, all small independent ranches, if this bill is passed, will go under the complete control of Homeland Security and the U.S. military. If there's an emergency in the food supply for some reason. Now, again, this could be any type of man-made catastrophe. Let's say we have a nuclear exchange or something. Okay, the legislation now is in place with this bill to basically centralize the farms, just like the Soviet Union did during the Stalin and Lenin regimes. Exactly the same. Exactly the same structure. Okay, they would basically turn over the production of food and our farms to the World Trade Organization, the WTO. And which again, if a nation cannot feed themselves and turns it over to the an international organization, well, again, that's really the hinge on which all national sovereignty closes, the door on which it all hinges. So you see how important it is. We can quibble and gripe about banks and interest rates and the economy, unemployment levels, et cetera, et cetera. We can be grousing and whining about the TARP bill, the bailout. But doggone it, if our food supply is threatened, if these truckers and the food chain doesn't go to our supermarkets, then we're in deeply, deeply serious problems.
Well, it seems to me somewhere around 2 years ago, maybe it's been a little bit less than that. There was quite a bit of talk about what was going on in certain foreign markets, say in Central America. A friend of mine went to Mexico to visit some friends there, and he was up in the mountains in a very affordable area. Food was very inexpensive. In fact, the standard of living was quite high, and the prices were extremely low. And the farmers there were growing their own crops, but they couldn't sell their crops to their own people because the United States was shipping American produce into Mexico at far lower prices than what the Mexicans were charging. Now, that would require the farmers in America to be selling it to the government at far lower prices than what they're worth. And really, the point there is to destroy the American farmers and to destroy the foreign farmers because they can't compete with those low prices. Now, I'm not saying that the quality of food going into Mexico was bad or, for that matter, the quality of the food leaving Mexico would have been bad. They just couldn't conduct business that way. So they're playing countries against each other. They've been doing this for close to 2 years, at least. And no one's really paying any attention to this, that this is going on. We hear stories about all the food that comes into Walmart. Now, I don't shop there, and I never will, but that's where a lot of the produce is going, and they're getting these super cheap prices, and they're forcing manufacturers and producers to lower the prices of their products to, quote-unquote, be competitive. And really, it's driving these companies out of business. It's forcing the Chinese products into the market. Now, we've had numerous problems with the produce coming in from China, have we not? And, mm-hmm. and they're concerned about what we grow here, and the problem is with the imports. Isn't that backwards? You know, am I missing something here, or is this just another PSYOP being played on the people?
Well, all you have to do is take a trip this spring into the San Joaquin Valley of California, the area around Bakersfield. Now, you know, it was bad enough last year, but this year is even worse. I have friends there. I have family that lives in and near Bakersfield. And the unemployment rate now there now is well over 40%. The aquifers have been shut down. The fields are just being shut down completely. And again, what's going to happen here, Don, is, you know, the strength of America during the 50s and 60s is, you know, is in our agricultural production, our ability to produce, you know, livestock, cattle, chicken, pork, etc., as well as these, you know, the farms, both the large farms in California, but the small independent farms as well. When you undercut that last vestige, the economy cannot survive. Can't flat out cannot survive. This is again the final blow to America if it's allowed to go through. Everything has been, to me, is the stage has been set for the passage of this bill that would make Lenin proud. Words fail me to try and emphasize how critically important this is. Back in the late 90s, I formed a grassroots organization called CRSA, Citizens for Responsible and Sustainable Agriculture. And we basically formed this as a grassroots organization in southern Utah to alert the people, not only in Utah, but, you know, really across the country, about the trend towards these large factory farms. In this case, the combination of four of the largest pork producers from North Carolina joining forces, forming a company called Circle Four Farms, and bringing in an operation of literally millions of factory hogs, pig farming. Now, what this was doing was you know, it's now becoming very, very evident. They come in with all, you know, large deep pockets. They came in and drilled the deepest wells in the county. They began pumping the huge amount of water that they need. And, of course, keep in mind that the area of Utah and southern Utah is basically today a desert, always has been. And so when you drill the deepest wells and start sucking out the precious water in the aquifer, what does that do to your small family farms, your small dairies, your small cattle ranchers? Well, the cattle ranchers that I knew, their first things to go dry was their windmills. They couldn't produce and pump out any water, so the cattle had to be basically sold off, not to mention the stench and stink of those cesspool ponds where they took care of all the waste. Just, you know, miles and miles away, you could smell it. Terribly, burn your eyes and your nose. Absolutely incredible. But, you know, they keep going because they have money and they have power. And that basically ruined the two counties I was involved in for small agriculture. Just flat out consolidated it into the big power brokers, where they utilized growth hormones. It's a science. They wanted to bring these pigs to market in the fastest possible way, so they were chock full of antibiotics and drugs and growth hormones. You have to pay a price somewhere. Now, the argument that they always would give was, well, this is modern science. This is the wave of the future. We're producing pounds of pork much cheaper and much more efficiently than the family farm would be. But the drawback is the chemicals, the toxins, the produce, the thing that's produced is such that it's just not safe to consume it. And your primary end user, of course, is your fast food markets, breakfast chains that just want to buy it at the cheapest possible price and keep their profit margins intact. But it's a downward cycle, Don, as you know, as you keep using this type of contaminated products, and within a generation or two, you'll have a massive increase in chronic health conditions. And again, that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's obviously intentional. I mean, what they're doing is lowering the frequency of the food, whether it's animal or vegetable. GM foods have no nutritional value whatsoever. You know, for people to eat and feel full is one issue, but if what they're eating is doing them more harm than good, then the purpose is just to make money as fast as possible. And the human growth hormone is not healthy for people, and they're using growth hormone on animals, and people are going to ingest what the animals transfer to them through eating those foods. There's got to be a myriad of problems that are going to come out of that. And so design, they want to get the money as fast as they can and kill us off as fast as they can, too.
So the model in the late 90s that I witnessed there in my home county, which one of the reasons why I moved out of there was just the writing was on the wall. Well, now 13 years later, Don, we see this model being implemented in the total agricultural picture through this bill, this Modernization Safety Act. Well, the wave of the future. Well, we got to. This is not a good idea. We already have very safe food supply right now, probably the safest in the world. What do we need to have more safety controls put in? Going back to Bill Clinton's administration during the 1990s, again, we see that Clinton introduced what's called the Hazardous Analysis Critical Control Points, HACCP, in order, supposedly to deal with contamination in the small and independent food processing and butcher shops. Okay? Well, the HACCP really has shut down so many of the small independent meat packers, and the big guys, the big combines, have just consolidated their power and their clout. Again, it's more of the fascist Nazi model in action. And it's just funny, back on the campaign trail, if you remember back in 2008, Hillary, some of her planks of her platform, if elected as president, she wanted to make a whole bureaucracy, a new, like a Homeland Security, so to speak, food safety agency. When I heard her say that was in one of the town meetings, I just shuddered. I mean, it's as if Health and Human Services, the Food and Drug Administration, and Homeland Security aren't enough already. We have to add another one. And if you look deeply at her agenda, you see that the architect of this, that was her front person, was a guy named Mark Penn, who just happened to be the chief executive officer, still is today, of Burson Marsteller, So just a giant PR firm, Don. Burson Marsteller represents number one client, Monsanto. So there's the front.
Yes. Now, we have a question that came in from down under in Australia. For you, Dr. Ott, why is your Congress, or I could say, why is our Congress allowing the agricultural destruction that's occurring here in America?
Well, hopefully they won't allow it, and they'll vote it out and stop this insanity. That's the point of this show, really.
Well, the question is asking, why are they considering it? Why should this even be a consideration? I think is what the person is asking.
Well, the agenda of these socialists is world control once again. It goes back to the World Health Organization and the UN model, the Food and Agricultural Organization, the FAO. You know, I've done show after show on this as a guest on other programs, Don, and the Food and Agricultural Organization has a very strange logo and their symbolism in their logo. If you look at it, it's a broken Christian cross, like a peace sign, the old 60s peace sign. Mm-hmm. With three sheaves of wheat in the logo. And the logo beneath it says, Fiat Panis. Fiat Panis. P-A-N-I-S. Now, what does that mean? Fiat Panis.
Well, that's illusory bread, wouldn't you say?
Well, you know, that's what the World Health Organization and the WTO says it means let there be bread, but really? Is that what it really means?
Well, what does fiat money mean? Let there be money?
All right. Fiat, if you look, just look in the Webster's Dictionary, fiat is just basically a word that means by government or official authoritative decree. That's what it means. You have a fiat currency. What that means literally is you have worthless paper or debased, worthless, base metal coins, no silver, no gold, no intrinsic value per se, but that's only valuable because the governmental authority has so made it an edict. So your 10-cent paper bill that has $1,000 written on it, it's worth $1,000 only because the government says so by authoritative decree. But in intrinsic value, it's not even worth enough to start a fire with or to wipe your tail end with. Okay, so it's an illusion, really, what the government says, and that's the meaning of fiat. What is the meaning of panis? Is that really a Latin word? Drew, I about fell off my chair a year ago when I did the research on this. Panis literally means, it's a Hindu word. The root word of it is Hindi. It means that it references a pantheon of interdimensional demonic entities. So literally, fiat panis, this does not really mean let there be bread. It means the official decree of an interdimensional demonic horde of governing bodies. That's the literary dictionary meaning of the Food and Agricultural Organization logo. And I don't think that's too far off. These beings want control. That's it. That's all they care about. They want control over the human being. They want control over the DNA of the humans. They want control of the lifespan of the human being. So in answer to that, to the question from Australia, we have been you know, infiltrated in this government and many of the world, other world governments, Australia included, by this group of fiat panis demons. It's a very, very dark agenda that they've got going here. On the outside, with logical thinking human beings, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to have a protectionary food bill of this magnitude. It doesn't need to be there. What have we had, Don? Last decade, we've had a couple of outbreaks of E. coli. Well, duh. Cook the darn boogers a little bit more. Cook them so they're not so red in the middle, and you got no problems. What else do we have? We had a peanut butter salmonella scare. Well, what was the root cause of that? Does that mean we have to gut every small safe production facility? That's what it seems like.
You know, where do the chemtrails come in this bill? You know, the things that they're spraying all over the skies, on the fields, on the animals, over the water, over the people. You know, this is ridiculous. It really is. You're going to talk about the safety of food while you're spraying poisons and toxins and bacteria and viral contaminants on the whole world, and you're going to complain about that? You know, I mean, let's connect the dots. And we have global warming, too. You know, so we're going to have warm what? Warm demons?
Yep, and it goes, again, remember the SARS outbreak, the epidemic there in the Pacific Rim countries?
Yeah.
Where millions of chickens and ducks, poultry, were all destroyed, and same with the bird flu hoax. And what, you know, destroying all these small independent farmers, put them out of business, just paved the way for again more ConAgra type of massive family farms, or factory farms replacing the family farms. You have Tyson Foods. Other companies that are expanding worldwide, just look at their profit and loss statements and their balance sheets and their projections for the future in a global marketplace. Well, you see, this is the same old socialist agenda: problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, they stoke the fires of the reaction through their controlled media and their money of advertising, and the solution they come up with was what they prescribed at the very beginning, the end result that they wanted to have happen. So long term, if this bill is passed, it can really affect America's health by eliminating good, wholesome, organic food. The organic food markets that you have now, be a thing of the past. They'll be gone. The farmers' markets, gone. The ability to make a wise choice in grocery, in your fish and meat and poultry, all is going to be drastically changed in 5 to 10 years.
Well, I remember a number of years ago when there was a big controversy over the selling of what was described and advertised as pure water, if you remember that, bottled water.
Uh-huh.
And then, now, first of all, it's going in plastic bottles, so that leaves some doubt right there. But nonetheless, two major soft drink manufacturers were caught, but I think it was intentional that they were doing this anyway. They were intended to be caught because that was the problem that you just described. Putting tap water into those bottles. So they weren't even using spring water or any kind of filtered water. It was straight out of the tap, charging outrageous prices, even higher than some of the more elite waters that have been out there for years. So there's an example of them doing the same thing. They began then importing very low-grade foods and just putting stickers on them that said guaranteed, certified, organic. And one that knows the taste and the texture of organic food knows that that's not true. Yet they get away with this, you see. Again, problem, reaction, and then what's the solution? Well, they're going to outlaw healthy food. They're going to outlaw nutritious food. It makes no sense. Now, I can tell you this, that a society that is hungry is going to be very unruly. A society that is starving is going to be desperate, but a society without food is going to die. There's no doubt about it. What is it going to take people to wake up?
Yeah, food has always been the weapon of despots, from whether it's Stalin, the famines that were created. It wasn't that the Russian peasants weren't productive. It's just that Stalin stopped the distribution. It wasn't they weren't able to get it into the cities and out to the people who needed it. And the targeted areas of independence under Stalin were the ones that were, resulted in millions of deaths and genocide. That again is the modus operandi of socialist dictators. This has no place in a free republic. Absolutely no place. A bill such as this, to even have it written up and debated, is an absolute travesty.
Well, I agree. And, we get into the issue of the responsibility of our lawmakers. And I use that with reservation because they're just betraying this country and committing treason every time they open their mouth. The treason that's being committed here is for a reason. And one has to stop and look and get out of the democratic republican paradigm that they've created for us, which just divides people's loyalties to one another. They make enemies internally of the people in this country by having them oppose each other in political parties, which are working for the same goal. They're not representing these deposing or opposing dichotomies, these opposing values, or it's their names, their labels that are put on a situation that is corrupt through and through and has no one's interest at heart but their own. That's the first thing that people have to see. We can call our politicians, but they didn't listen on the health care bill, did they? And you can't tell me that I can tell you Dennis Kucinich heard the wishes of his constituents, and he turned on all of them. He not only betrayed his word, he betrayed his constituents, his state, and the country by doing what he did. But so did everyone else that voted for that legislation, because it's another bailout, it's another payoff to the insurance companies and the banks, and it gives them play money, again, monopoly money, to concoct some more ruses in the stock markets. That's all it is. That's all it's ever been. And I sound like I'm griping, but I'm passionate about this, because people keep saying, well, what are we going to do if they take our food away? Where are we going to eat? But they don't do anything about it. They just sort of whine. And it makes me sound like I'm whining,
Well, again, the most important thing to keep a nation and the people within that nation free and independent is their number one thing is their health, which is tied to the availability of good, wholesome food. And this is the irony of this. This bill is camouflaged to protect that. When you really dissect it, though, it's just the opposite. It's like, I'm here from the government, Don, and I'm here to hip you. No, don't need that type of hip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is interesting. In my research, in my genealogical research, I kept running into all of these properties or all of these people who were connected somehow to the FAO.
Really?
Yeah, and I said to myself, what is going on here? Well, obviously what they're doing is they're going in and taking over farmland, and while they're sitting on it and turning it into something that's totally unproductive, they're collecting farm subsidies. They're padding their pockets on this agenda of not growing food. You know, you remember when this first came out many, many years ago? They're paying farmers for not growing food. I was in school when they were talking about that. Now, why would anyone pay somebody not to do something that was their livelihood?
Mm-hmm.
Why would the government support such a policy? Well, I have the answers to that, obviously. But I'm asking that question rhetorically because it's insane. Yet it still goes on. And they don't just do it with farmland. They'll do it with an apartment building and write it up as if it was farmland. That's how corrupt they are. Or a hotel or some business, some store. It could be a styling salon. They can put it on paper, secretly put it on paper, lump a bunch of these properties together, and pay themselves subsidies as if it was real farmland. I know in my own area where that's going on, and I know where it's going on all over the country. You can't do the type of research I do and not run into it, because it's everywhere. And they're using aliases. They're using a multiplicity of social security numbers that are just there for show. They're not paying the taxes on any of the stuff that they're doing. All the money goes into offshore accounts. You know, my research on the short-legged Mac Daddy took me to Africa, and there was a listing attached to the names that were in this deal that I was following. I was following the names, but it took me to this transaction that was occurring. And there was a huge, huge multi-million dollar investment in what was called non-wood forestry products.
What?
No, non-wood forestry products.
That's an oxymoron.
Yes. In fact, I think one of the listings was in French Guiana. you know, what does that mean? Is that drugs? Is that what that is?
Non-wood forestry. Maybe they're talking about harvesting the ferns or the mushrooms. I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe it was psilocybin mushrooms or something.
Yeah.
Or peyote. I don't know. That's the type of language that they use to obfuscate the corruption that's going on. Now, this is while I'm just tracing a genealogy that I run into this. It's everywhere. Also in the Far East, this has been going on for many, many years. I would say a good 50 years. All over Southeast Asia, they're doing the same thing. It's like them taking over all of the natural lands in the western part of the United States. There, a number of years ago, the federal government bragged that it owned 37% of the federal land, or the western land. How is it that the federal government invests in the money themselves? How is it taken away from the people? Well, they say eminent domain. They have to have their satanic rituals or tied in somehow to Yellowstone Park. They don't really tell you the meaning of the name Yellowstone, so, you know, they have to control that. They have to keep the people away. And they're doing this everywhere, all throughout the Southwest. I've been all over the Southwest, and you can go to someone's house, and all the land surrounding them is signed and fenced off. federal property, do not trespass. Or they're just building underground bases. But see, what they're really doing is herding the people into the cities where they can be controlled. Where if they infect them with disease that they're spraying on them or putting in their food or their water, they contain them in a particular area. Then all they have to do is bring the coffins in, load them on the trains, and dump them wherever they dump those things. I mean, this is really what's going on. I'm not trying to scare anyone. We've seen the pictures. We've seen the trains. We've heard the accounts of how many hundreds of thousands of these triple-decker trains are being made. See, you got to connect all the dots when you talk about this stuff, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest dot right now staring us in the face is this, this Senate Bill 510, ladies and gentlemen. Doug, again, don't take our word for it. Please just do your own research. Just do a search engine. Read all of the pros and cons, what it's all about. Get involved. Here's another one. Well, there's a whole section of the bill, as I read it, Don, that basically would force the government, would allow the government to control all seed production, to be in their hands, not the individual farmer and rancher. Again, that smells like Monsanto and the GMO patented seeds. They need to have that to control their ability to reproduce the crops in the future. Again, that is very, very scary. I mean, you've got a lot of people that are self-sufficient in this country. They've stockpiled their seeds. The seeds are literally what can make the difference between life and death if you're, you know, basically trying to survive out of the government fold. Now, you know, why control the seeds? And if you have a so-called food safety bill, why the need to control the seeds? Food Safety Modernization Act, and they're talking about controlling the seeds.
Mm-hmm. Now I got a chat message here that's pointing out to me that the FAO and the non-wood, well, there's actually there's a web page that's entitled Non-Wood News by Bibliography. This comes from Larissa in Sochi, Russia, or Semerfol. I'm not sure which one it is, but I think it's Sochi. She is pointing out that there's actually a website, and she says specifically, I haven't read this whole thing, but it's kind of things I ran into in my research. She says, tropical forest conservation and development. Now, you know what that means around here? That means blocking the natural lands, buying up the properties from private owners, flipping the properties, creating all kinds of illusions and schemes to, you know, more Ponzi schemes. Derivatives and hedge funds is what that's about. So we are... we are on the verge of that same thing, but I just wonder what, see, the listing that I found, and it's at the top of this page, non-wood forest products. So what do you take out of the forest that's not wood if you're banning herbs, if you're banning organic foods?
Got me.
It's beyond me. You see, this is a play on words. But I thank you, Larissa, for sending that. She's verifying what I said.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too, you know, we've probably talked about this a little bit. The bill would basically call for animal chipping, what's called the NAIS, Animal Traceability Program. Well, the small farmer. The small rancher, this will just put a huge tax burden on them. They won't allow their animals to go to market without the chipping and the tracking paperwork. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, who is behind that one? Who's behind the tracking and microchipping of the dogs and cats, our little pets? Well, you go look into SkyTerra, the company that tracks these via satellite, and you see, again, one short-legged Mac Daddy, Hussein Obama, controlling much of the stock in his portfolio. This was one of the things that landed Obama in hot water with Judicial Watch, the watchdog group, before he was even running for president as a senator, as a freshman senator, for heaven's sakes. He was on the top 10 most corrupt list because he was promoting this microchipping agenda, while royalties from his books had gone heavily invested into SkyTerra technologies. So there you go. I mean, it's is it just coincidence that this calls for massive chipping of all animals that go to market?
I don't think so. We've got a caller, Dr. Ott, here, if you'd like to take a call. We've got Eve in California on the line. Eve, welcome to Evident Footprints. Comment or question, please. We only have a few minutes left in the show.
The comment would be, well, good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight? And the comment is, there's a new program out called Hungry for Change. It might not be that new, but it's Food Incorporated. I sent them both to you, and it was on PBS. It's about a little over an hour and a half long, and it is in your face how the major corporations are taking over our food, period. They showed a lot of information about the farms, the small farms, the corporate farms. And if anybody's interested in seeing this film, it's absolutely excellent. You can go to the website with foodincorporated.com. Should take you there. And you can view the movie if you want. But it's just true what you were talking about earlier, what happened in Utah. This is big time. This is all over the United States now. And, I mean, they grow these chickens. Tyson Farms grows these chickens three times the size of what their body weight can handle, and their legs collapse, their bones just break, and they're laying on the ground, and that's your food. That's what food's going to right now. One lady let them in, and she said, "I've had it. I've had enough. You guys can bring your cameras in and do whatever you need to do." But that movie is so powerful. If anybody wants to take a look at that, I highly suggest it.
Food Incorporated. And see what happens, Eve, when you put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. What happens when that basket gets smashed?
Yeah.
All right. You consolidate everything in these corporate farms. It doesn't take too much imagination to know what happens when, you know, if you have a virus or whatever that is out of control, wipes out these corporate giants.
The corporate giants are, you know, are genetic engineering, farm worker, you know, they don't even have farm worker protection. You're talking about cloning, you're talking about environmental impact, pesticides. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. To see this film, it will turn your stomach. And if this film doesn't change people's minds and wake them up, nothing will.
Food Incorporated. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Food. I sent you an email on it, so you should have it, you know, in there. But you can just pull it up with Food Incorporated, and it's got a cow on the very front page, and it's got one of those one of their codes on the cow, you know, the barcode.
On the rump.
Yeah. Big old barcode on the cow. Yeah. They're actually putting people out of business that are cleaning stripping the seeds. There's one gentleman that was on, he was stripping seeds, he has a machine. In his county, there's only six of them left. and they want to get rid of that because those are organic seeds. And they strip those seeds for the farmers so they can plant them. And they're down to 6 of these machines in this particular state. So you got to watch it. You got to watch it. It's very powerful.
Now, Eve, have you heard about the controversy that's been going on in India for the last year or so? May even be longer than that, but there is a really startling number of Indian farmers who have committed suicide.
Yes, I have heard about it.
They've gone into debt. For our listeners, I'll just explain it briefly. They've gone into debt buying this Monsanto GMO foods. And I should say seeds. They're planting these seeds, and they're being sold on the benefit of this particular brand of seed because the pesticides are worked into the DNA of these seeds. In other words, they won't be attacked by insects, and they'll have higher crop yields. But what they're finding out is there's no nutritional value in this food, and these guys can't sell it. Or if they're lucky enough to grow it, and then those who are not using the seeds are finding that their crops are being encroached by that which blows in the wind, basically. So they're being cross-pollinated, and the healthier seeds and the healthier plants are being destroyed. And they cannot meet their payments. They cannot feed their families. They cannot produce. And it's become very devastating for them. They take great pride in their ability to support their families.
Yeah, so they end up committing suicide, and they take some of their family members with them because of the embarrassment of not being able to feed their families. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And some of the farmers have burned their crops down, their remaining crops. They've burned them down, and they've vowed not to take these Satan beans. That's what I would, prefer to call it. It's Monsatan.
Monsatan.
But anyway. Watch that movie. Anybody, watch that movie, and it'll explain all of it. I mean, it is very, very powerful. And the man that put the movie together did not intend to have it turn out that way. He didn't realize what he was actually going to be filming. But he got all of it. He got a lot of it. It's very, 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 very good. Very good. So thank you, gentlemen, and you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Eve. Good hearing your voice.
Yes, Eve, thank you, and do call again. Larissa in Sochi, Russia, we got that straight, sent me something from the 13th, there's that number again, World Forestry Congress. From Buenos Aires, Argentina, from the 18th to the 23rd of October, 2009. Non-wood forest products, the forgettable side of forest sector revenues in Mozambique. Mozambique and non-timber forest products uses and services, or perspectives, excuse me. Now, just looking over this very quickly, they're saying that the most remarkable non-wood forest products are medicinal plants. I find that to be rather ironic. Grass, bamboo, reed, and foods such as wild vegetables, fruits, tubers, etc. Now, isn't this a contradiction to what we've been talking about with this Senate Bill 510? I tend to think that maybe the reason we're in Afghanistan is the non-wood, non-forest products that they're guarding, the poppy field.
Well, yeah, I had office. Well, Don Fow is the gentleman that works with Lyndon LaRouche Lyndon's organization is putting out all this about just that factor. Here's the Taliban supposedly profiting from these poppy fields and actually then taking the the prophets that are, you know, that are being guarded. The U.S. troops are guarding the poppy production facilities. And he said to me, "Well, Al Qaeda then is using these prophets to manufacture bullets and bombs to kill the same soldiers." Well, I had to explain to him that it's much, much deeper than that, even. Okay, I explained to him the pharmaceutical cartel takes the raw opium after it's harvested from these poppy fields, and that goes into the manufacturing facilities in Puerto Rico, which then turns out 65% to 70% of all prescription drugs. Every single one of your pain meds, ladies and gentlemen, is opium based. Your even the little blue pill Viagra for the gentleman, that's opium based. I kid you not. Where does that opium come from? Your backyard?
Yeah.
95% of all the world supply comes out of Afghanistan, and that's what fuels the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, so they're there for the massive profits that are made for all the drug smuggling as well as what the pharmaceutical companies get. And they get it cheaply, and they mark it up, 57,000% some of their medicines are? That was a couple of years ago. It's probably higher now.
Yeah. You take oxycodone, OxyContin, and you basically crush that pill up in a spoon and burn off the residue, which are basically the petrochemical benzene structures, and you purify it, and you basically have free base heroin to be shot in your veins. I mean, that's the opiate heroin structure. And we have people in this country that are addicted heavily to these pain meds, just as a junkie is addicted to a heroin, heroin shoot.
Yeah,
it's a double standard, Don. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I got one message, and I want to make one more comment about these non-wood forest products here. Drew Raines actually had this in his News and Views a couple of days ago, maybe it was even last week, and this is good news. Despite all this doom and gloom that we've been talking about, and this is not to scare people, it's to awaken people and to point out what's going on. You got to understand it, and you got to face the reality of it. Monsanto lost an $8.85 million lawsuit in the state of Arkansas last week. And the big winners were the organic soybean and rice farmers.
Good.
So there you can stand up to these beasts. The problem is that so many people are willing to sell out. So many farmers, in their desperation have sold out, given up their land or gone along for the subsidies that we mentioned earlier. And I think about the World Forestry Congress promoting a meeting about non-wood forest products in Argentina, but they're talking about Mozambique. And are there not people starving there in Mozambique? Maybe I'm not clear on that, but it seems like people are starving all over the world. Why aren't these foods being given to the people to keep them alive? You see, we keep coming back to that same issue.
And they want to control America and Canada. Really, the rest of the world as well will follow. Drew, Don, I keep saying Drew. Don, it's a huge issue. I called in. It's those that are awake to this had better spread the word as best you can to your contacts and your circle of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the final shoe to drop on the floor, and you've got to stop it.
Yes. Now, for Eve out there who called in a while ago, we've got a couple of people asking about Food Incorporated. Now, they went to foodincorporated.com. That's probably not the correct website. If you can shoot me an email. I'll try to get that out to the audience before we go off the air here. I'm not looking at that at the moment. There's just too much to talk about here, but we're about out of time. Dr. Ron, I want to, you know, pursue this more, and I want to encourage people to listen to your show, which will be heard on republicbroadcasting.org Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday. The Eastern time is 2 to 4 p.m., Central 1 to 3, Mountain noon to 2, and Pacific time 11 to 1 in the afternoon. The show was called The Story Behind the Story, and you've been tackling a lot of very difficult topics with some great guests that have much to say, a lot of inside information. They've been looking at these things as insiders, all sorts of topics, not just this particular issue right here. Any special show or guest that you want to promote before we say goodnight?
Well, no, I'm kind of out of pocket this week. I'm up in the wilds of North Idaho, Don, and I'm having Barbara Jean fill in for my show tomorrow and Wednesday. She's got some great interview lined up. She's just a wonderful old school investigative reporter. She'll do a great job. And then of course Dr. Mike Castle will fill in for me on Friday. I will be on the air with Dr. Wayne Pickering on my scheduled guest on Thursday, but then I'll be back in on Monday. We'll just continue to have some guests lined up.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. And now, you know, he's such a positive individual, and I'm speaking about Dr. Pickering. It'd be interesting to see you bring this issue up on the show. I don't know if that's in the realm of what he's going to be talking about, but maybe you could at least bring it up and see what he has to say about it.
Oh, yes, we will discuss it.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for being on tonight's show and wish you the best up there in Idaho. You mentioned Dr. Mike Castle. He's going to be my guest tomorrow night, so I'll tell him you said hello. How's that?
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much, Don. You be safe.
My pleasure. You too. Folks, that about wraps it up tonight. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Special thanks to those two networks for carrying Evident Footprints. Also, we want to thank Seth Hendrick for manning the phones and the audio. And I got a website here now. I'm going to read this video. I think this is one that will take anyone out there to the particular video that Eve told us about, or the film. Just enter into a search or an address window, okay? Movie Blips, that's movie, B-L-I-P-S, .dailyradar.com. /video/food_inc, I-N-C. Okay, again, real quickly, movieblips.dailyradar.com /video/food_INC. And I hear that you have to have broadband to even see that. It probably keeps refeeding itself, resetting the buffer on that. So that said, special thanks again to Seth Hendrick for the sound and answering the phones. Also, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience. Join me tomorrow night for another great show with Dr. Mike Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.